We as a church are continuing to prepare for the celebration of our 150th anniversary. We've been talking about it for some time now, and we've been getting ready and started a couple of weeks ago with the sermons focusing on our big anniversary coming up. And we're continuing this morning. This morning, we're thinking about celebrating our past. Next Sunday, we will talk about embracing our future. And then 2 weeks from today will be our big anniversary celebration day. So hope you are making plans to be here. This morning, our text is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11 this morning. Before we read this text, though, let me just share and give you a little bit of context about what's happening in this passage so that when we actually read it, it might make a little more sense to you. And we are going to connect it with the passage that Kim read for us earlier this morning. So this passage in Deuteronomy is describing a very significant time in the life of Israel. A big event is about to happen for them. And this big event is something that they are going to be celebrating. Shortly after our text that we'll read in just a moment, the people of Israel are going to cross over the river and they are going to enter into the promised land. Now, this is a land that their ancestors had lived in before, but the family of Jacob, many years before, had left that land in search for food during a severe drought. So as they went to look for food, they ended up in Egypt, and we know the story. They spent some 400 years in Egypt as slaves, as captives there in Egypt, working for Pharaoh. When they were able to leave miraculously from this horrible experience, they spent the next 40 years then wandering in the wilderness in the desert. But right now, they are on the cusp of entering into the promised land. They will do so in just a matter of days after our text for today. So they're preparing a celebration. They want to recognize their past and mark a new beginning. As they make their preparations for this celebration, Moses has some words of instruction for them, and that's what we'll be reading in just a moment. Now, at the time of our text for today, Moses is 120 years old. He is quickly approaching his own death. Actually, in just a few days after the text that we will read, Moses will climb on top of Mount Nebo. He will gaze across the river. He will see the promised land that the people will soon inherit, but he will never enter. He will die there on top of Mount Nebo. As Moses speaks the words we are about to read, he knows his death is imminent. But before Moses died, he had some specific instructions for the people. He wanted to tell the people, here's what you need to do when the time of celebration comes. Here's how you need to celebrate. Here are the things that I want you to pay attention to when this big event comes for you. Israel will pay heed. They will listen to Moses' words. When they cross over the river, they will follow what he says. And I believe his words have meaning for us today as well. Let us listen to these words in Deuteronomy chapter 26, starting in verse 1, as Moses instructs the people of Israel and the people of First Baptist Roswell as to how we are to celebrate. When you have entered into the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in the office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. So let's begin here as we think about these words and where we are as a church now, 2 weeks away from our big anniversary. When Moses speaks to the people, he tells the people about the very first steps they are to take when they are celebrating this significant event. In the first few verses of this passage, the first four verses, actually, Moses says to them, the first thing you should do when you celebrate is to take some of the first fruits of the land and go to God's dwelling place. Moses says, give these first fruits to the priest and then set them before the altar. He will set them before the altar. That's the first thing you need to do. So what is Moses saying? Why does he emphasize this as the first step that's a part of a big celebration? Well, we know as we think about it, with the first fruits and going to the priest, what he's talking about is a sacrifice. He's talking about taking that which God has given, going to God's holy place, and making an offering to God. He is talking about the very first thing the people are to do is to recommit themselves to God through worship. You remember he says what they are to say is, I declare this day to the Lord. I declare this day to the Lord. What do we often say as we begin worship? This is the day that the Lord has made, right? I declare this day to the Lord. In other words, it's like saying we believe in God. We believe God has brought us to this place and to this time today. So we give this day to God. We give thanks and praise to God for this tremendous blessing. First and foremost, Moses says, the most important thing you can do is worship. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago because that's true for us here as a church. So I will not belabor that point again this morning. 2 weeks ago, when we talked about preparing for a party, it was clear, we said, God wants us first and foremost to worship. But let me just remind us this morning, this passage is clear. The entire Bible is clear. There is nothing we do that is more important than worship. There is nothing we do individually, there is nothing we do collectively that is more important than what we are doing right now in this very hour. When we gather together in 2 weeks, the most important thing we can say on that day is we declare this day to the Lord. This time of celebration is to be an opportunity for worship, of recommitting ourselves to God. And listen, that idea is so important. It is God who has brought us to this place. It is God who has brought us together. It is God who has blessed our past and is a part of our present and will guide us into the future. It is God doing all of this. And first and foremost, we pause to worship. See, I think Moses was saying that worship is always important, but especially during a time of celebration. We know sometimes worship can become routine. It can become kind of normal everyday process, right? It can become something that we just kind of do as business as usual. I know, not the sermon, right? But everything else, but no, I'm kidding, probably the sermon more than anything else. It can become routine, right? It can become just kind of business as usual. We just fall into a rut and it tends to lose its sense of meaning. Listen, I say that as a pastor. I know that can happen. There are times when I get caught up in the business of the church, the committee meetings, the budgets, the planning sessions, the worship, the staff meetings, on and on. If I'm not careful, worship just becomes one more thing to do. Moses says, don't let that happen. Especially don't let that happen at a time of a significant celebration or anniversary. Worship then has added meaning. What we do every Sunday when we gather is celebrate God. Every Sunday we come together to praise God, to thank God, to celebrate who God is and what God has done. That can never be more important of a task than when we come together to celebrate a big anniversary. Remembering, it is God who has brought us to this place. It is God who deserves all the praise and all the glory. Our 150th anniversary will be a time of worship. But then Moses says something else that's really important. Moses then encouraged the people to tell their story. After that first step, after bringing those first fruits and laying them before the altar, Moses says, you remember what he says in the text, listen. The people were to say, our father was a wandering Aramean. He went down to Egypt. The Egyptians made us suffer and perform hard labor. We cried out to the Lord and we were saved. God brought us to this place where we are today. Do you hear what Moses is telling the people to do? He's telling them to tell the story. To tell the story of what God has done through them and for them. Part of celebrating is telling our story. Israel's history as a people was their story, from slavery to the Exodus to the wandering in the wilderness to now being on the verge of entering the promised land. Moses reminds the people, this is who you are. This is your story. Don't ever forget where you came from. Telling the story, it's always been a part of Hebrew tradition. It is such a wonderful part of the Hebrew faith. In fact, when Jesus and his disciples gathered in the upper room and they shared what we call the Passover meal, it was the Seder meal. And part of the Seder meal, even to this day, for the Jewish people, is to tell the story, to remember who they are, what God has done for them. Telling the story is such an important part of celebrating the past. In fact, telling the story is one way of remembering how God has blessed us in the past as a people. It is teaching our children and our children's children what the story is and how they are connected to that story. As Walter Brueggemann says, there are no meanings apart from roots. Think about that. There are no meanings apart from roots. Moses says, celebrating the past is a time to tell your story. As we as a church celebrate our past, we need to tell our story. Because the story of this church is so important. It's important that we remember who we are as we hear our story, what God has done through a group of people here in this community, in this place, for 150 years. We see not only what God has been doing, but how we today connect to that history. That story needs to be told and retold. Several times over the past few months, we have heard from individuals who have been longtime church members here, either standing in the pulpit or on video. We've heard them tell the stories of what has happened in this church's past. They are wonderful stories. They have made us excited to celebrate this church's past. In a couple of weeks, we also have a history room that is being prepared. We'll have a heritage hallway or hallways that are being made ready so that we might go and remember the story of this church. We'll look at pictures. We'll look at other things that remind us of the story, the great story of this church. So on our anniversary weekend and beyond, we will tell our story. It's such an important part of celebrating our past. But let me say something very clearly. This history is our story, no matter how short or how long you have been part of this church family. I want you to realize something. In our text for today, Moses told the people to say, "We were slaves in Egypt, and this is what happened." None of those people were slaves in Egypt. None of those people were alive when that happened. But Moses says it doesn't matter because you are connected to that story. None of those people, slaves in Egypt, were still part of the story of that family of faith. And the same is true today, whether you've been a member for 80 years or 8 days. The story of this church is your story because all of us are part of this family of faith. My wife, Amy, comes from a large family. She didn't know I was going to talk about that this morning, so lunch could be very interesting. We'll see how it goes. She comes from a very large family, and when we were engaged, getting ready to be married many, many years ago, I went with her to a wedding in the family, and I was overwhelmed by the size of her family, but something else happened there, too. We were engaged to be married, but nobody in the family knew me, so I had to face the family inquisition while I was there. One of Amy's cousins took me aside and asked question after question after question to see if I actually met the standard or was good enough, right, to be part of the family, or if I was good enough for her. I think I still have nightmares of the waterboarding treatment that went along with that. No, but that was over 32 years ago. It's been fun over the last few decades when we've been able to go and be with that family to watch others go through a very similar process. But not only the part of testing, it's the part of being incorporated into the family. Many years ago, we were there for a family funeral, and following the service, we went to the home of one of Amy's uncles, and there on a huge wall in the home is just picture after picture after picture after picture of the family. And that day, I sat in a chair and I watched as Amy's uncle took the newest person to pass the family inquisition by every picture on that wall and say who that person was, tell a little bit about them, how they were connected to the family, and go to the next picture and do the same, and on to the next picture to do the same. He was telling the story, and he was accepting this young man into the family. That story was becoming his story. This anniversary is a time for telling our story, but not just the story of some, it is the story of all of us as part of this family of faith. We are connected to this church's past. We are part of this church's present and certainly its future. We will celebrate as we tell our story. Finally, Moses told the people one last thing. They were to celebrate. When they entered into the promised land, it was not simply a time just to look back with misty eyes and hearts full of nostalgia. Yes, that's important. But Moses told the people also that when it was time for their celebration, they should throw a party. Verse 11 says that after they had worshiped, after they had told their story, listen to what Moses said. You and the Levites and the aliens among you shall what? Rejoice. you shall rejoice. He was saying to them, when you get to the promised land and you look back and you worship and you thank God, and then you tell the story, the next thing to do is celebrate. You know, sometimes we often think the Bible is a solemn and serious book, and much of it is. But this book is also full of parties and celebrations. That's why I had Kim to read the passage earlier from 2 Samuel. We didn't give a lot of context for that reading, but what has happened in that passage that Kim read for us earlier, the Ark of God, the Ark of the Lord, has just come back to Jerusalem. God's presence had been gone. It has now come back to Jerusalem. And what does David do? It says very clearly, the very last verse of the passage we read, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. What a great picture. Now, let me tell you, I don't want to wear an ephod and dance before the Lord with all of my might before you. I can tell you that. But it's a time to celebrate. This is a time to rejoice. The Bible is full of parties. And sometimes Christians can almost take on the stature, the thought of the Puritans. It was said of the Puritans, quote, they had the haunting fear that someone somewhere was happy and celebrating and they didn't like it. And sometimes that's the caricature of the church today. I heard of a mother who was sitting with a small child in church, and the youngster seemed to be the only one who was happy to be there that day. He was standing in the pew, he was turned around, he was looking, he was waving, he was smiling to everyone, and the embarrassed mother kept trying to get him to turn around, but he kept wanting to turn around and smile and wave to everyone who was there that day. And finally the mother did what a lot of us as parents have done, asked the child to turn around and said, "You're not supposed to look that way in church." We've all been there. That's no criticism of that mother. We all know what that's like. But here's the point. If we can't smile at church, if we can't laugh at church, where should we smile and laugh? This is a celebration. Every Sunday when we come together, as I said, we are celebrating who God is. One person has said, perhaps if the church is to look more like God's kingdom, we should throw a party every Sunday. That's what we're doing. That's what this time in our church's history is all about. We are celebrating our past. We are worshiping God, and we are going to throw a party. We're going to celebrate. It reminds me of something Jesus said. He said there was a young man who had embarrassed his family. He took a lot of things from his family. He blew it all, wasted it. Ended up needing to come back to his family. And when he came back, he and his father, they embraced. They recommitted themselves to each other. And then they threw a party. So I think the next couple of weeks, this is a time for us to worship. It's a time for us to remember and to give thanks. And yes, it is a time to celebrate. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this is such a momentous and special time for us. It is overwhelming at times to look back and think how you have guided and directed this family of faith for more than a century and a half now. But we celebrate that that's who you are, and we celebrate that you love us, and that we give thanks that you give us the opportunity to be part of it. So Lord, lead us and guide us as we continue to prepare. Help us to worship, help us to remember, help us to celebrate. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.